I was confused. I thought Alex was telling me they had a kids special today, but I guess they didn't. My wife contacted me on Tango this week, so I could see her, she could see me. She saw my face for the first time in 6 months. She said, "Why do you look like a terrorist?" So maybe my face is going to change in 2 weeks. I don't know. Got to keep them happy, right? Okay. That's the first time I heard that one. But all right. So we're going to do our Peter lesson, 1 Peter chapter 5. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. It's just a short lesson today, but I just want to take the time to emphasize one thing that I noticed in one of these verses that we looked at last week, and hopefully be something we can dwell on the rest of the day. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, 1 Peter 5, 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." Okay, now, so look at this in light of what we learned last week about pride and humility. It says, "And be clothed with humility." Just be covered with it. Okay? "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And isn't that a blessing? We saw the grace of God bestowed upon Nebuchadnezzar and Hezekiah and Ahab in our study last time. And hey, if God had mercy on people like that, men like that, man, I've got such hope, such hope. And then the Bible says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore," and so God tells us to do it, "under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That casting, that's a complete abandonment. That's not you just holding it and handing it to the Lord. If you hand it to him, that means you still got your hand on it as he's taking it from you. You've still got a hold of it. But if you cast it on the Lord, you're just dumping that whole thing on him, trusting him with it. But here's what I want to look at this afternoon. This phrase, "the mighty hand of God." The mighty hand of God. Something that maybe we take for granted or don't give it much thought to. That mighty hand of God, I am to submit myself, place myself in that hand. I'm to humble myself under that hand and acknowledge that he is the authority by which my life is going to be governed. And if you search out these phrases, the phrase "under the hand," that's referring to a nation that's being ruled or governed by a certain man, or maybe an army who's subjected themselves under the command of an officer, or even just somebody being in charge of something like the prison house, which in the Bible we saw Joseph was in charge of the prison house. It was under his hand, the Bible says. But if you search the phrase "the hand of God" through the Bible, that's a man or sometimes a nation that's experiencing God's judgment or God's correction. When the Philistines in the Bible, when they stole the Ark of the Covenant and they put God's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, into the house of Dagon, their god. And, of course, God had fun with that, knocking it down and tearing it apart. But anyway, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, that the hand of the Lord was heavy on them. So because of that, they carried the ark from city to city, and the hand of the Lord was against whatever city they brought it to, with very great destruction. And it even said that there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. Okay, so, and also when Job was going through his trial, he said in Job 19:21, "Have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." So humble yourselves under that hand. When God's putting his hand on you to correct something, you humble yourself. All right, let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look today at your mighty hand, Lord, I pray that this would be something that we can take home and meditate upon throughout this week and just contemplate, Lord, what that really means and how safe and secure we are and how there's just no better place to be but in your hand. Please bless this teaching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And sometimes God is putting his hand on you to correct you. At that time, we need to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So that's the hand that gives the grace as well. That's the hand that does the lifting up and the exalting. That's the hand that manifests care for you. And don't you like how personal that is? It's not talking about for us, it's for you. He'll exalt you. But I want to look today at the mighty hand of God. Just going to go to four places in the Bible. I said this isn't going to take a long time, but it is something we can take to heart and take home and think about it. And maybe we'll get some understanding today concerning the might and the power and the protection that's wrapped up in this phrase, the mighty hand of God. Let's first look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. And let me just say that I'm in the hand of God even when I don't feel like I am in the hand of God. I'm protected by the hand of God when it seems to me like I'm not protected at all. I am receiving grace at the hand of God when it seems that there's no grace to be found. His hand is mighty. He's mighty. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 12, he's speaking about God. But let's back up and look at verse number 10. Isaiah 40, verse number 10. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young." So the promise is in verse number 10 that the Lord will come with strong hand. How strong is that hand? How mighty is that hand? Well, look at verse 12. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" What waters are those? "And meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." So not only did God create the heavens and the earth and everything in them, and I believe that just as much as I know Jesus Christ believed it when he walked on this earth. Not only did God create the heavens and the earth, but he measured out the waters for the Atlantic Ocean in the hollow of his hand. There it is. And he measured out the depths of the Pacific Ocean in the hollow of his hand. He weighed the dust that would make up the Rocky Mountains in the palm of his hand. He meted out the distance, you know, between one planet and another in the palm of his hand. You say, well, that's I like that. That's beautiful, picturesque, poetic language that the Bible uses. No, you're wrong. That's God Almighty speaking of himself. Talk about a mighty hand. Talk about a strong hand. You say the world's up against me. Well, he measured the world in the hollow of his hand. You say the forces of nature seem to be just conspiring against me. He weighed them in his palm. Everything in the world, you say, seems to be going against me, seems to be running in the wrong direction. Yeah, but you're in the hand of God. God drew that thing up. Asia, Europe, North America, South America, Antarctica. And he fixed the whole thing up. He rolled it into a ball. He slung it out. He called it Earth. And he rolled up some particles together, some atoms here, some molecules here, that kind of thing, and just, there's the sun. cast it out there where it needed to be, and we got a sun. He made a few stars, some galaxies, got them spinning in the right orbits and everything, put some comets out there. And the Bible says he measured all that in the hollow of his hand. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's been said that if you could harness the lightning in one thunderstorm, you could supply all the electricity that a country needed for 3 years. One thunderstorm. You think about it, one bolt of lightning could knock any one of us dead instantly. The lightning and electrical power contained in one thunderstorm could run America. And the Bible says all those storms, all those winds, all those waves, all those forces of nature, God is the one who formed them with his hand. Have you ever seen a painter, and he's got that palette lying on his hand, and suddenly there's mountains on that canvas where there weren't any mountains before. There's rivers on that canvas where there were no rivers before. And you consider that man is made in the image of God. There's Almighty God in his glory. No heavens, no earth, no animals, no plants, no birds, no fishes, no darkness, just God in his glory. And the Bible says the Lord made the mountains where there had never been mountains before, and rivers where there had never been rivers before, and animals and fish and man and the dust of the earth. He made all that in the palm of his hand. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, hey, that's a good place to be. Amen? That's a lot of power in that hand. A lot of wisdom in there. A lot of understanding. Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles. That's the Bible word for continents. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Why don't you go home this afternoon and get a big bucket and fill it with water. And then just get one drop of water on your fingertip right there. And just say, there's Korea right there. There's the Philippines, one drop. There's America. There's India. And then try to find that drop that you put in that bucket. God said that's all it is to him. You know, pretty insignificant. Go someplace and find you a little bit of dust. Think you could find some dust here in Kuwait somewhere? But look at that dust there on the end of your finger. It's gone. It's gone. Try to go find it after you blow it off your finger. Try to find that speck of dust. You know what the Lord said? That's all Russia means to me. That's all China means to me. That's all the United Nations means to me. There's some power. That's some might. When the Bible talks about the mighty hand of God, we're talking about the hand that could hold red China and not even notice the weight of it, you know? And we're talking about a hand that could hold Russia and not even feel it, you know? And we're talking about the hand that could hold every atheist, every infidel, every cult member, every God-denying, Bible-rejecting, Bible-hating non-believer in this world, and blow them all away just like that if he wanted to. That's a mighty God. That's a mighty hand. Let's look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. You say, man, if China is that insignificant and Russia is that insignificant and the United States is that insignificant, well, then what chance do I have as an individual, as a person? Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand. Take a look at that hand. Look in his hand. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, look at his hand. If China does not weigh him down, you know Babylon did not weigh him down. And he's, you know, he's ready, just about to blow it away. But you know what? He heard a cry from the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. That God who measured out the planets and the solar system in the hollow of his hand, he took that same great might and great power to focus in on one man on his knees, to focus in on one spot in that great and vast universe that he'd created. And he said, what's that I hear? Did I hear somebody just call on me? I think I'll use that very same mighty hand that I used to make the universe to snatch him out of hell. The same mighty hand that made planets saves sinners. The same mighty hand that formed worlds redeems the repentant. And the Bible says right up to this very day, when you're reading that Bible, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That the hand that made the stars, it can reach down into the jailhouse and pull a man out of sin. It can reach into the nursing home and pull a woman out of sin. It can reach into the bar room and pull a teenager out of a life of despair, a wasted life. It can reach down into a living room and set a husband or set a wife on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. What a hand. What a mighty hand. You know something? If your hands are big and strong and rough and tough, it's hard for you to handle little tiny delicate things, isn't it? You don't see very many pipe fitters who are working with microscopic things or microscopes. You don't see many big weight lifters. Man, they might be able to bench 400 pounds, you know, but you try to get that same guy to be able to thread a needle. I can hardly do that. Those little tiny things that require some manual dexterity, some nimbleness, those are tough. I'll tell you, our God, though, He's great. He can take that hand that He measured oceans in, and then He's so great, He's so powerful, that same hand can pluck one little sinner out of the fire. What a hand. What a mighty hand. And God said, humble yourselves under that mighty hand, and He'll lift you up. Let's go to John now, John chapter 10. He makes worlds in that hand. He saves sinners with that hand. John chapter 10. If you're saved, what a blessing. John chapter 10, verse number 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Think about that. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. When you hear the Word of God and He gets your attention, and you're sure that somebody is talking to you, directly to you, isn't that a blessing? How that Word of God catches your ear. You know what that means? That means that you are one of His. It means you're one of His. My sheep hear my voice. Man, that's great. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. I just believe that means eternal life. How about you? A lot of preachers, a lot of church people, they think that it means as long as you hold on to it. But I think it means eternal life. And they shall never perish. Again, personally, I think that means they shall never perish. Some people think that means you'll never perish as long as you do certain things or you don't do certain things. But hey, personally, I think it means never perish. But look at this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now look, here's oceans in that hand. Here's mountains in that hand. Here's entire nations of people, and they're just like dust. They're like just like a drop of water falling into a bucket, and yet that hand saves you. When that hand saves you, the Lord says, I put that great, mighty, powerful hand around them and defy anybody to get them out of this hand. Now, who's going to get you out of a hand that can hold solar systems? How many of you have ever plucked a chicken? Anybody? I'm curious. Anybody ever plucked those feathers out of a chicken? How many of you never knew that chickens had feathers? You thought they just came wrapped up in cellophane. They came that way. Well, no, chickens have feathers and chickens run out in the yard, but I'll just give you a little farm lesson here. I'm not a farmer, but you can learn these things. Chickens' feathers, they're not just laying on that chicken's body. Okay, they're not just delicately balanced there so that if that chicken moves the wrong way, its feathers will fall off. Those feathers are actually a living part of that chicken. You can put a chicken in front of a fan, a strong fan, and those feathers are not going to blow off. You've got to pull hard. You got to pull those feathers out of that chicken because they're actually a living part of that living bird. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible did not say, no man is able to take them out of my hand. The Bible said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Look, God has made you a living part of that hand. You're not just laying in it. You're not just being held in it. You are a part of it. Now, who's going to rip me out of God? Who's going to tear a piece of God loose from the rest of God? That's a mighty hand. I mean, God could, he could turn that hand upside down. He could shake it all he wants to. And I think, you know, I might think I was going to come loose, but I wouldn't come loose. God could wave that hand and say, and you'd be screaming, no, God is too much. Stop, God is too much. But I'm not coming loose, ever coming loose. I'm part of that hand. I get my life because I'm part of that hand. I'm as alive as that hand is for as long as that hand is alive. That hand created the universe. That hand reached out and saved me. And somehow or another, God made me part of that hand. That's a mighty hand. Now, I know some Christians like to argue all the time about losing salvation. And they say, well, yeah, the Bible says nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand, but, hey, you can walk out of His hand. All right? Well, let's suppose that that was true, that you could walk out of His hand. In that hand, God formed the universe. That's pretty big. It's a long way to walk. You better start now if you want to get out of that hand. Got a long way to go. Long way to walk. From here to the other side of Saturn, I don't think you live long enough to walk that far. That's a big hand. That's a mighty hand. It's God's hand. And He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. All right, just one more. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, it's after Proverbs, chapter 9. You know, some of my works are good, and some of my works are bad. Some of my works turn out right, and some of my works are disastrous. Some of my works look like I know what I'm doing, and some of my works are rather an embarrassment. Isn't that pretty true of you as well? I mean, some days I feel like I'm making some progress in my Christian life, and other days I feel like I wonder if I'm saved. Do you feel that way sometimes? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1 says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. All right, let's see if I qualify. Let's see if you qualify. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians, chapter number 1 and verse number 30. First Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Are ye in Christ Jesus? All right. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So do you know what God made me? He made me righteous. You know what God made me? He made me wise. You know what that means? That means, hey, on those days that I was a pretty good husband, I was in the hand of God. And on those days when I was a pretty rotten husband, I was in the hand of God. On those days when I came pretty close to living a pretty decent Christian life, I was in the hand of God. And on those days when I just knew I made a mess of things, I was still in the hand of God. But the righteous and the wise and all their works are in His hand. So you know where I am this afternoon? The same place that I'll be forever. In the hand of the God that saved me. Back in the 60s, for you older people, there was a song that was popular that said, "Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters." But you know what? I don't need to put my hand in the hand. God put me in the hand. That's where I am. That's where I'll be forever. And hey, do you think God did a pretty good job creating this universe? I do. I mean, don't you ever go out at night and look up at the stars? When you're looking at those stars, let me ask you, have you ever said, "I don't think that God did that right. If it was me, I would have put that one there and that one. I would have got rid of that one." No, I don't think you do that. I bet you go out and you look at those stars and you're just amazed at the power of God. You get out there on the water and you look at the ocean, you look at the lake, you get out there in the forest, you get out there in the jungle, and look at those plants and the flowers and those delicate things, those beautiful things. It's quite a creation that God made for us. It's quite a creation. But that same hand saved me. That's quite a salvation, isn't it? Think about this. Has the universe fallen apart? Now, I know we've got some people in this world who don't trust God. They think the whole thing is going to fall apart. But I don't think so. I think God made it to last as long as He wants it to last. You know, sometimes I don't trust God and I think my life is going to fall apart. But I think the hand that made my new life, I think He made it to last. So let's remember from last week that it's good to humble ourselves. But think about this. When we do humble ourselves, there's no risk involved. Because we're simply just placing our life in the mighty hand of God. And I hope if you got anything out of this short lesson today that there's no better place to be than in the hand of God. Could not be a better place. So let's go ahead and stand and we'll pray and we'll sing a closing hymn. Father in heaven, You are a mighty God, and Lord, we are grateful to know that when we placed our trust in You, You placed us in Your hand as part of You, and Lord, You've given us eternal life. We have security that we didn't have before. There's no way that anybody can take away what You've given to us. We're grateful for that, Lord. Help us to appreciate it. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge it. Help us, Lord, to just admire Your wonderful power, Your wonderful might, and all that You've done with that mighty hand of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.